everyone. Welcome back to Life on the Prairies podcast, episode 4. And today we actually have Pam with us from the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund. And I thought we'd chat with her today to talk about what your community can do in terms of attracting people and retaining people to come to your community. And so, yeah, so let's start with Pam introducing herself.
Pamela Winchesko. I became a member of the Parkland Ukrainian Family Fund shortly after it started. So yeah, I'm here to tell you all about the work we've done over the last 2 years.
Excellent. And there's nobody better that we can ask to explain what we have done other than Pam. Okay. All right. So we started the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund in February of 2022 in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And it started off as a humanitarian project. And so our team basically consisted and still consists of Don Tarrant, and we have Father Brent Kuzik, Jim Perchaluk, Terry Stokhilo from Myers, Norse & Penney. We have Jason Bayette from Johnson & Company, and as well as we have Pam and myself. And further, we also have two other players that have helped us tremendously, which is Tanis Bennett as well as Annette Clement. So we will talk about everybody, I think, in a little bit more detail as we have our chat here today. So Pam, you came aboard in April of 2022. And I remember when we started this, we said we would help 4 families or 5 families?
Yeah, I believe the initial intent was to fully support 4 to 5 families to come into the community. And it exponentially grew as time went on.
Yeah. Okay, so the way how it started was Don Tarrant, the owner of Right Side, came out and he basically said to the community, I'm going to donate $25,000 in terms of helping Ukrainian people. And then I think people rallied around him, and Jim Perchaluk came to him and with his group, and they decided that they could put this fund through
the Solo Ukrainian Heritage Fund. Yeah, yeah, the one that runs the Solo site up at the hill.
Yeah. So anyways, so Jim and Don got together and they worked out how they could run the funding through. And then they created the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund. And that's kind of what brought us all together. And I think each one of us have played a really, really unique role in the fund. So again, I also want to touch on that as we go through this. But let's go way back. So when you first came aboard, we had like maybe, I think, 1 or 2 families here, and you walked in and you're like...
They hadn't actually arrived yet. Yes. I had joined the board just prior to, and I was on sort of a subcommittee at the time that we had formed, because we were learning in leaps and bounds as to what we needed to do and how we needed to prepare for the families as they arrived. And so it was virtually learning as the days progressed as to what we needed. And certainly we had a lot of people who had their minds set in terms of what should be done and how it should be done, but that changed. That continues to change to this day. So every family is unique. Every family had different needs. Every family was different sizes. And so, you know, we were trying to do the best we could with what we had at the time. And it still continues to be that way to this time frame.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we expected it to go on this long.
Absolutely not. No, I think for the most part, I mean, we had significant help and volunteers, you know, at the beginning. And certainly you get that with any board that you're on, where you get volunteer burnout, and that's fine. I mean, people have lots of different obligations. And so, yeah, there's definitely the strongholds. The 7 that you mentioned have been, you know, have been sort of our framework that keeps it going, and it's been a very good board to work on. Everybody's in the same mindset in terms of helping as many people as we can. So
when we started off, and I said it was you know, all in regards to a humanitarian response, and then slowly and surely it became more of an economic development initiative as well by default. Like, we didn't design it that way, but it just became that. And so in your own words, how do you say that? How do you think we kind of did that?
I guess as the need grew, we saw we were looking forward in terms of how we would keep the families safe, first of all, but also keep them here so that they were happy and content and would stay here. So, I mean, in the beginning, a lot of the families were interviewed to see whether that was their intent, was to stay here. And when certainly the initial 10 to 15 families who came, that was their intent. They were a little bit less prepared in terms of what they were coming to, because they didn't have the time frame to think about it as what would be with the families who are coming now after 2 years of war. But I think that they really wanted to get out of where they were, you know, under bombardment, and they just wanted a better place and a better life for their children overall. And so, yeah, they came with a commitment to stay. And so we wanted to make sure that they had, you know, that they were financially successful in terms of jobs and security. And so many of those first families who have come, we've worked with them as a team, as you know, working through their immigration process, becoming permanent residents, and, you know, having them purchase homes, learning about mortgages and banking and all the huge culture shock that they've experienced over, you know, the last couple of years that they've been here, but also making sure that they understand everything well so that they don't make mistakes and that they are successful. So helping them find jobs that they are very content with is probably one of the biggest things that has helped in terms of economic development, because it's filled a lot of gaps here in the community that, you know, people who are employers haven't been able to fill in a very long time. Places like, you know, RITS, you know, a production facility that had a hard time finding workers, they are extremely happy with some of our Ukrainian men who have worked there. And they continue to hire more and more men. They are just extremely happy. I've heard from the employer just last week how pleased they are with their work ethics and their dynamics and how well they work with them. Local farmers within the community, that's been a huge issue right across Canada. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky to fill that gap here in Dauphin, Manitoba, you know, some small farming community. And, you know, there's been quite a few, you know, fingers that I can count that farmers have hired men, and they're extremely pleased with their work ethic. And I think that's one of the biggest things that has come out of this initiative is the drive for all of them to want to work. And they come here and they wanted a job yesterday, literally. That's one of the first questions that they ask is, okay, they haven't even stepped into the door where we found them a place to live. And they're like, I need work. And so it's overwhelming that they will take on any job to start their career path forward, whatever that career might be. It may not necessarily be a career, but it's a job and it pays the bills. And they don't want the handouts. They actually just want to be financially successful to be able to pay their bills and give their children a better life.
Yeah. No, so I think you touched on a number of very important things. And so you first of all talked about when we interviewed, right, our families to come. And it wasn't to interview them to weed them out to say, oh, well, like this person's better than this person, or this is like, it was more the mindset was when we brought people here, it was more that they were in the trades. And that their skill, like their basic skill level, matched our skill level and what our community needed. Because I know there was some people that wanted to come here and they were in professions where we just knew they would never be able to find a job. It's just something where, you know, in Dauphin and the Parkland region, they would never be employed or even come close to that. So we did try to match as close as possible. And, you know, and I think it was, again, more by default, like we designed it like that, but we didn't know how well that would work for us, right? And we knew the one thing coming into it too was that this wasn't a regular immigration pathway, that they didn't have time to learn English. It's not like they, you know, chose that they're going to immigrate to Canada. Absolutely. At this moment. So they did the best they could and they came here willing to work, right?
Yeah.
So besides employment, what other things do you think that the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund really assisted our newcomers to
Well, I mean, I guess as time progressed, we saw a need for things like daycare, like the English classes that you had talked about, because certainly, yeah, they weren't prepared as a normal immigrant would be to come to Canada and they knowing English already. So they were basically, you know, they had to leave their country quickly. And the level of English on some is good, with others it's zero. And so, you know, they're learning as they go. Anyway, we saw that need. So, I applied to a couple of, grants that were available through, the Dauphin and District Community Foundation was our first one to try to hold some English classes. I worked very closely with their, administration there, and we were able to get some funding through KIA Communities in Motion. It's a grant fund that they have, and so we called it our English to Employment program. And so through that, we started with having a local teacher willing to teach English classes twice a week in the evenings while they were not working. And we had some very determined people who wanted to take those classes, who were working till 7 o'clock and the classes started, and they would literally run from their job so that they wouldn't miss the class. You know, they'd be 5 minutes late, but they would still show up. And so without, you know, eating a meal or whatever, they were just bound and determined that they were going to learn English to get better employment. So certainly that one has worked out well. We've continued with that program. It's still ongoing. The real big benefit there was that when our local teacher was not able to keep holding the reins, we were like extremely pleasantly surprised that one of the local Ukrainians one of the Ukrainians that came to Dauphin has a master's degree in English from the United States. And so now she's teaching the English classes. So we've been able to employ one of the, you know, potential immigrants who came here, who speaks English fluently. Like you wouldn't even know she is Ukrainian. So now we've been able to offer her a job. And like you say, the economic development perspective has been amazing. So, you know, just in the past month, we've also hired another Ukrainian lady who was an English teacher in Ukraine. So she's running a daycare that we are doing because there was an extreme shortage in daycare. And to have these families be able to work, they need to put their kids somewhere. And so we've got a summer day camp going now through the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. We've been able to hire somebody again. So we're because of this grant funding. So it's been phenomenal in terms of what has happened with the money. It's like we're doubling down on the money that we've got because we're actually hiring them with grant money that we've received. And, you know, we haven't taken anything out in the community. We're actually adding to the community because of these monies.
Mm-hmm. So we should actually take a step back. So when we started, it was just a group of people that had a vision to help another group of people. And we had Dawn's 25,000 initial grant and our donation. And also what happened was a lot of local businesses and community members stepped up and they donated a lot as well, be it monetary or in-kind donations. And I really think that's important for us to talk about.
Absolutely.
Because we did not get like any, there was no provincial funding, no municipal funding or any contributions such as that. So if a community is looking and saying, well, you know, we can't do that because we don't have the paid staff or we don't have a strong enough municipality, I really would like to point out that it was a group of people that was supported by the business and community members that actually made this project and this initiative to where it is today. Because if you look at the donations that we started with to the grant funding that you wrote and we obtained, so how much do you think we have received in total monetary and in kind? I know nobody's going to hold you to it, but what's your rough guess?
Yeah, so from a financial perspective, we've been keeping track of every penny that comes in and every penny that goes out. So I mean, we are supporting the families for the first 3 months, basically paying rent and utilities to try to give them a kickstart to a good life here, because a lot of them, it takes some time, especially if they don't know English, it takes them some time to try to find a job. So, you know, that first month, for some of them, they can get a job in a day, mm-hmm. and others, it takes a couple of weeks to find a job that's suitable for them. And so, you know, they don't have income coming in and they need that little support, in my mind. And yeah, so overall, I think we've raised over $600,000 in cash donations, and that's through, you know, personal donations, business donations, plus the grant funding that I spoke about earlier. That was one of the grants, and the other one was through the Canadian-Ukrainian Foundation, which one of the Ukrainians, the local Ukrainians here in Dauphin, had suggested that, look at this grant application, maybe we can apply to this. And I did. And through that grant, we got $144,000. So that one, or $139,000, that helped us support, I believe it's about 16 more families through that. So that's direct support to the families that are coming and continuing to be ongoing. So yeah, overall $600,000 in cash donations, and then the in-kind donations, you know, if I had to guess, I would say it would be equivalent, because we have furnished 67 homes. We've brought in 67 families to date, you know, close to 200 people, with the children included in that number. And that's 67 apartments and homes that we've been able to furnish for them, fully furnished. And so, you know, when you start thinking about the cost of a couch or, you know, a bed or whatever, when they come here, they walk into an apartment which is fully furnished, which none of them ever anticipated. You know, the family that the last family that has come was a single mom with three children, and she was anticipating to come here, check out the apartment, go back to Winnipeg and try to find some cheap furniture and figure out a way to get it to Dauphin. She didn't realize that we had the fund then. And then, you know, when she walks into the apartment, she's in tears, which, you know, I would say the majority of them are when they walk into the apartment or home that we found for them and it's fully furnished, and they are like overwhelmed with the support that this community has given.
It's a turnkey apartment.
It absolutely is turnkey.
And yeah. So when we started this initiative, I know we were told that one of the reasons why other people didn't want to take it on, because there wasn't enough housing. There would not be enough homes, I think, even for the 10 or 12 families that our original goal was, right? And you just mentioned you far exceeded that, because you actually led the initiative to find housing for all of our families, right?
We have some really good landlords that I'm working with continuously here. And when something comes up, they're the first to call now and say, do you have another Ukrainian family coming? Because I have this apartment that's available, you know, on May 1st. So it certainly has been a really good evolving door with regards to them having good tenants and us being able to find homes for them that are very suitable for them. Yeah, it's been a win-win situation. Absolutely.
Yeah, because when I hear that lots when I work with different communities, is they're like, we would love to bring in people, but there's a housing shortage, right? And this whole housing shortage all over Canada. But I do like to point out what the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund has been able to achieve. So I said, don't listen to what people say you don't have. Just go and investigate it for yourself. Take inventory. And I always tell them how you have built those relationships and that trust. So the landlords do come back to you and say, hey, if you have anyone else, let us know.
Right? Yeah,
so
I think it's amazing what's
been developed here.
It's definitely been a steep learning curve with regards to developing that, and just that mindset. You know, it's that paradigm change. Don't say can't. You just figure out a way to make it work, and it has worked. And we've had some troubling issues over the last 2 years, no doubt. It's been a struggle sometimes, but mm-hmm. we've always been able to move forward. And that's the whole idea of the teamwork. You had mentioned Tanis and Annette, and they've been like a huge asset to our team in terms of being able to find the shortfalls for the household supplies, You know, we do a call out on social media, and the next day, if we needed a toaster, we've got a toaster. Or the community itself has been incredible, and we've certainly reached out far beyond the borders of the city of Dauphin. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been going to McCreary and on and all, and you name it, to pick up stuff when needed. And so, yeah, when we say fully furnished, we mean fully furnished.
Yeah. And the commitment of our volunteers, because you mentioned Tanis and Annette, yourself, me, whoever's on our committee, we all work 9 to 5, right? So this isn't a 9 to 5 initiative. We aren't paid to do this. So you guys get up and, you know, you do all your work that you need to during the day. And you see Tanis's posts on Facebook where it's like, hey, need a, you know, a kid's mattress, right? So you know that they're working at night, they're figuring out people's houses. So I think that's just a really, really good point to make to community members that are listening to this, is that, you know, if you have it structured so people are in charge of certain things, that you really can pull this off, you know, that you, like, you don't have to have and leave it to a town to do it. Like, somebody will do it someday, you know, then somebody will never do it, right?
Agreed.
So I think it's, you know, we should acknowledge that you guys are moving houses at night in minus 30. Right. Yeah. So there was some times when, yeah. you know, it wasn't pretty, nope. but you did it.
Yeah. No. And certainly from the beginning, like the Shteraz adult Ukrainian yes. dance group helped out a lot initially, because we didn't have a lot of Ukrainian families. And what has transpired is that now, with more men coming, all I do is a call out to all the Ukrainian families, and whichever men are available now, they come and help. So there are movers, and, you know, it's transpired into the fact that we're saying, hey, you guys should start a moving business in this town now, because you're so good at moving furniture, right? So it has been wonderful. So there, you know, the need for local volunteers has diminished. And now I just do a call out to the whoever's available that day that we're moving, and people show up. Like the families who we have moved into town and we're moving another family, they come in and return the favor to help the newest family move in now. So
it's been amazing.
It has worked really well. Yeah. Yeah.
So Pam, since we've been talking about all the benefit to our community and our region and everything that our board has done, or whatever you call our group, the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund, let's talk about some successes individually. So I love economic development. I love community development. So let's start with that. Has there been any families or people that have been able to start businesses within the community?
Yeah, so I guess there's a number of success stories already in this short period of time. You know, I feel bad because a lot of them are, you have really high skill sets, high levels of education, but it's certainly not recognized by Canadian standards. So, you know, lawyers, doctors, mm-hmm. A dentist just arrived, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, they will not be able to practice unless they upgrade their skills. And the English barrier is definitely a barrier. So yeah, it's been somewhat traumatic, but in the same regard, they are able to figure out how to move forward. So for example, the lawyer was a single mom of two children, started off cleaning, you know, basically house cleaning at one of our senior facilities here. And then when a job popped up at a lawyer's office, she applied, and now she was, you know, the legal secretary there. And since then has moved on to become, moved into another position with a higher rate of pay, same sort of position as a legal secretary, but, you know, moving on up basically, because her skill set is getting stronger for Canadian standards. So, you know, just because you've accepted a job as a cleaning lady to begin with, doesn't mean you're going to be stuck with that position throughout your period here, right? And now she's applied for permanent residency. So yes. I'm crossing yeah. my fingers for that to happen. And she wants to buy a house and settle here. So great story. And hopefully we'll get to the end when she gets her permanent residency card. Another family who actually owned a restaurant in Kyiv is now starting up a restaurant type catering business here. They basically started small scale where they were able to find a commercial kitchen and, you know, start preparing meals, meals to order. And so they were doing a little bit of delivery here and there, started off small, did a few catering jobs, and then the word of mouth got out. And now they are setting up shop in a commercial kitchen here right in town, and it's pickup only. And because their orders have far exceeded their expectations and they don't have time to do deliveries anymore. Yeah, it's been extremely successful. And, you know, I really hope and wish them well. They've been able to do a couple of big conferences here now, where they've had to hire extra staff to help them serve. And so they're hiring a few of the Ukrainian ladies who are, you know, working part time or not working at all due to their children's ages and having to stay home with them yet. So real true success story. It's been a great ride for them. Same thing. They bought a house, so they plan to stay here and develop their restaurant, you know, hopefully someday be able to have capital to be able to invest in a restaurant type scenario here in Dauphin. Another lady, you know, took that cleaning, that house cleaning, and has developed her own house cleaning business. And by word of mouth, she has to turn down jobs now because, you know, she has done such a great job of what she's doing. And, you know, she just doesn't have all the time in the day to do as many jobs as she's getting. So, again, another true success story.
Those are great. So the name of the caterers?
Smack.
Smack.
S-M-A-K.
Right? Okay. So yeah. On the bottom of my podcast, in my notes, I'm definitely going to do a link to them. And they have a ton of Facebook followers. And their reviews are amazing.
Yes.
Right? Like yep. You'll see they'll have like whatever and they deliver for their lunch and they do all this like, well, now it's pickup only, you said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they used to. And just the following that they've gained. And so what they've brought to our community alone is amazing.
Absolutely. I do truly wish them luck in terms of setting up a restaurant here because I think it would be very, very successful. So, yeah.
Okay. And so they got partners, you know, such as Community Futures Parkland.
Yeah. So that's where they started was through Community Futures Parkland, and they actually applied through a little contest and they were number one in terms of their application. So they ended up winning, I believe it was like a $5,000 grant, a startup grant to help them set up their business. So again, you know, working through organizations, he's continuously asking me questions about what to do and, you know, doesn't want to make a costly mistake, taking advice seriously, you know, and so, yeah, it's been a real good, I think they're an asset to our community for sure.
For sure. Mm-hmm. When they start asking that much stuff, you just have to say you have to go see CF Parkland and they'll answer that for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's how the partnership started. You know, they were asking me so many questions. I'm like, this isn't my area of expertise, but maybe we should go here and see if they might be able to help you. And in the end, they ended up getting $5,000 startup grant from them. So it was fantastic.
Like, yeah. Right. And then we're introducing our newcomers to local resources that are free and that can really help them evolve to the next step.
Yeah. And again, there's another business that's just started up in the last couple of weeks, a lawn care type of business with three friends, brothers and a friend. And so they've started up a lawn care business and they are working through Community Futures as well. So yeah, again, those kind of partnerships are evolving as they're coming up with ideas and what they want to do and how they want to become successful in our community because they really, really like it here. Yeah. And I think the reason they like it here is because we are, you know, we have a traditional base of Ukrainian immigrants who came in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so they do feel at home here. It does feel like they're back in the Carpathian Mountains. I often joke when I'm bringing a family back from Winnipeg. On occasion, I've been able to pick up a few families in Winnipeg. And as we're driving into Dauphin, I'll you know, point to the Riding Mountains and say, those are the Canadian Carpathia or the Canadian Carpathian Mountains. So they all giggle. But they do really feel like it feels like home to them in terms of the landscape as well. So it's very important for them.
And you and I have both been over there a number of times, right? Yep. So we can actually vouch that it does does feel like home. I know when I worked over there, I did feel at home.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I was ever homesick once, right? And I think it has a lot to do with the way how
We've been able to maintain traditions here too. And, you know, having the Ukrainian festival here, having a bilingual school is extremely important for those who have children. They just feel right at home when they walk into that school. And so it's really part of the draw to Dauphin to have that bilingual school here. And hopefully we'll be able to add on classrooms soon because of all the families that are coming. I actually joked on Sunday to Father Brent saying, if we bring in any more families, we're going to have to expand the church because it was standing room only on Ukrainian Easter Sunday this past Sunday.
Excellent. So, he'd be so happy.
Yes, it was very nice to see the church full with people who are practicing the tradition. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. So let's talk about the kids, because I was at the Dauphin Regional School today, and, you know, it was so, so great to hear, you know, kids walking by and they were speaking Ukrainian, and I looked up and I said, there's our kids, and they were laughing, and they were with our students from, you know, from Dauphin. They weren't just, because when they first came, I will admit, right, they stuck to themselves because, you know, who wouldn't? Right, so they were shy, they were reserved, but you should see the confidence in our kids now and our young people when they're at the school and they're able to converse with, you know, Canadian children as well, right?
And it's absolutely amazing. They've really settled in nicely. A lot of the older children are actually working part-time jobs, Tim Hortons, the grocery stores. One of them just got a job at a local restaurant as a server. So yeah, they are absolutely settling in here, feeling very comfortable. You know, Dauphin overall is a safe community, and so it's a great place to raise children. And they become friends really quickly because they're not in a large school where, you know, they're overwhelmed by the population, by the student population, and they can connect on a regular basis in our school system. So, and we have a lot of resources here where, you know, we have a principal at the middle school who speaks fluent Ukrainian. It certainly helps them, you know, settle in when they're, you know, put into a school that they know no one, and that, you know, the principal can come up and speak to them and make them feel comfortable.
Well, I think Alexei, when he first got here, he was our first guy that picked up the phone, and you were able to communicate with him along with Stephen Jadek, who was our superintendent of Mountain View School Division, and he's fluent in Ukrainian. So I think that went a long way as well.
Absolutely.
Is him being able to come in and speak to the family, because when we host our workshops, which we hosted a number of them, but I know that Stephen was able to come in and talk to our families and, you know, and they kind of felt, and they were able to ask him questions about the schools and what they were like, and having the superintendent be able to come in and communicate flawlessly with our newcomers, I think was just.
Yeah. We've had so many people in the community that have lent a helping hand in terms of all of the logistics of moving to a new community. So helping them with, you know, setting up utility bills and getting licenses and buying used cars and things like that. So having volunteers who are able to speak fluent Ukrainian has been a huge asset. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've lucked out in that, right? Mm-hmm. That area. Mm-hmm. So before we go, do you think there's anything that you want to also add in that we might have missed, or you want to?
No, I just have to say, like, being on this committee has been extremely rewarding. I would have to say that, you know, each and every one of the families that has come has become a friend. They are very, very grateful. They are overwhelmed with the support. You know, I don't think that they would have got this in any other community to this extent in terms of the number of people we've brought in, right? I know that there's similar community resources in other communities in terms of them helping families, but they haven't had the number of people that we've been able to bring into this community. And it's a win-win for our community. I mean, I actually looked at some of the statistics, and our community was stagnant in terms of growth for a very long time. To bring in 200 people in 2 years, to me, is a huge feather in our hat in terms of the economic growth that's going to happen. I mean, the schools have had to hire on extra EAs for support, and, you know, they're purchasing groceries and whatnot. So You know, I think we're going to see this community grow just because we've brought in extra people now. You know, maybe when the students graduate from high school, they're going to go on to ACC and take some post-secondary education there. So it'll keep that post-secondary education going here in Dauphin, right? So, yeah, it's just an overall win-win.
And how many dollars did we spend in marketing?
Zero.
That's the best thing, right? It was all word of mouth, right?
So, absolutely. So when they found out that there's this person that you should contact her over social media, the requests keep coming in. And yeah, you know, it's just word of mouth when you know, now we're getting members, family members coming. So, you know, a family that we moved a month ago,
that's true growth.
A family that moved a month ago, you know, she told me the other day, well, my sister's coming at the end of May. Her and her husband are coming. Obviously, because she's told them that you should come to this community. It's a great place to come. In my, I mean, she didn't tell me that directly, but I think that that's, you know, the word of mouth is very, you know, it's becoming something that many Ukrainians are hearing from each other.
And in terms of employment and for the employers, I want to also include this, is that it was the first time ever that people that were coming to our country got 3-year open work permits. So we took advantage of that, right? And we said, okay, they have 3-year open work permits. And we explained this to a number of people. And so the employers didn't have to jump through hoops. They didn't have to do this whole strategy. They didn't have to wait for a year or two. They basically said, okay, so that means I can hire this person tomorrow. And I said, you can hire them today, mm-hmm. right? So an open work permit let these newcomers, they can work for 2 or 3 employers if they wanted to, 1 employer, they didn't have to do anything special. So I think that also really helped. And we were aware of that. And it made the process easier. Yeah, so it really, you know, so it was that economic benefit to the employers where they didn't have to, you know, wait. And like Vermilion Growers benefited a lot from that well, right, as well. They were able to get a number of people to start instantly. And I think Vermilion Growers is a really great comparison as well, is because in Ukraine, Ukrainians are known for gardening, right? We're gardeners by nature. We love land. And so I think there was a number of them that really worked out with Vermilion Growers and likes that space to work, right? So I just have to like mention about the group's ability to understand that 3-year open work permit and know that they can come here and we can settle these families and we can help them grow.
Yeah, right. No, I think overall, many of the employers are quite pleased with being able to hire somebody on the spot and that they can start tomorrow and they've got a vacant position filled right away with jobs that have not been filled for a very long time. So it's been a win-win for economic development overall. Yeah.
And our families know that they have a job and they can on the side study English and they have a safe, affordable place to go at night. And again, they also were able to, like lots of them are starting to buy houses, as you mentioned, right?
Absolutely. So, I think there's about 10 families have purchased homes already and many more looking. So, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Okay. So since I want this to kind of be like a community education format in terms of how communities can attract and grow their communities without, you know, if you don't have the resources or you don't think you have the resources, it's actually within yourselves to do it. So we had, as I mentioned at the beginning, we had Don Tarrant, who basically started the fund. He gave that $25,000 cash injection. He gave a little bit more along the way. We had Father Brent Kuzik, who, you know, always
he's a lead on our support team.
Is a lead on our support team. He grounded us. And every time, even when I got anxious, he talked me off the ledge. We had Jim Perchalek, who was the Ukrainian Arts Council. So we were able to.
He helps with a lot of the administration.
A
for
lot.
Sure.
Yeah, they did so much. And we had Terry Stokilo from Myers, Norris & Penney, who took these people in the first year or two and basically helped them with their income tax. We also had Myers, Norris & Penney come in to do a workshop on income tax.
On accounting and everything.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I even learned a lot from that session.
Yeah.
And then we had Jason Bayette from John's Company, and he also helped us with our rental agreements.
Yeah. And he's helped with the purchase of homes and things like that. So all the legal aspects, it's been wonderful that way as well.
Yeah, so we had a lawyer, an accountant. Yeah. We had religious worker on there. We had a volunteer. We have yourself, Pam, who basically led this project, so we can never thank you enough. Myself, I served as immigration, so helping the people wherever they would need for immigration. So I think we had a really great team.
Yeah.
So I think if you look for
the right people.
The right people.
Yeah.
With, you know, that bring different, as they're diverse.
Yes.
And maybe you wouldn't normally see them sitting around the table together, but I think we did a great job, and I've made a lot of great friends along
Absolutely.
The way.
Yeah. So. And I think if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. You guys have all been wonderful to work with. I'm so proud that we sit here today with 67 families, 200 people in the community of Dauphin. And there's actually nothing more you could say. And, oh, one more thing. How many are employed for our adults?
Pretty well all of them, minus the moms who need to stay home with their children because they can't find daycare. That's the only reason they're not working.
Okay. That was the one question I always get asked. So there you go. Everybody has it. So thank you so much, Pam, for taking the time. And thanks to the Parkland Ukraine Family Fund. And I hope that in a year we can sit down again and reflect on all the accomplishments.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Thank you guys for joining me for Life on the Prairies. And I hope you guys get a lot from this. And we'll see you next time. Till then, live rural, live well.
These dusty country roads, been searching all this time, and I think I'm almost home.